here's a story from The World.
Former President Donald Trump was acquitted in his second impeachment trial on Saturday of inciting insurrection. So how do we move forward after an armed attack on the Capitol? To start with, some lawmakers are calling for a 9/11-style commission to investigate. Here's House impeachment manager and Democratic Congresswoman Madeleine Dean speaking on ABC.
People were terrorized. This was incited by the President of the United States. Of course there must be a full commission, an impartial commission, not guided by politics.
I'm joined now by John Farmer, senior counsel and team leader on the 9/11 Commission, and now a law professor at Rutgers University. So the 9/11 Commission made recommendations for how to avoid a similar event from happening again. Were those recommendations followed, and what has been the overall impact?
Well, to a large extent, they were. The report that we issued caused a major reshuffling of the intelligence apparatus in the country and also transformed emergency response in the way that emergency response is handled across the country. So as government reports go, it was, I think, uniquely successful in having the vast majority of its recommendations implemented.
So we've had commissions formed after major impactful events. There was also the Warren Commission that looked into JFK's assassination in 1963. How would you imagine a commission forming around investigating what happened on January 6th, the insurrection? What would be the goal and what do we need to find out?
I think we need to find out the basic facts. I mean, we still don't know a lot. We don't know what kind of contacts there were, if any, between the president and or his advisors and the people who are planning the violence on January 6th. We don't know what the president was doing in that critical interval when the Capitol is under attack, and that attack was met by silence from the White House. So I think there's an abundance of facts that need to be investigated, and I think a 9/11-type commission is the best opportunity to do that.
So what do you think were the most useful aspects of the 9/11 commission that you think could be critical for a 1-6 commission, if we can call it that? As you say, locking in the truth, even though some lawmakers might not still want to face the facts.
Well, I think there's an inherent value in establishing the timeline of exactly what happened, who said what to whom, what communications were ongoing back and forth. Was there an awareness on the part of people who should have known better that the allegations of widespread voter fraud were simply not true and were in fact fraudulent? And what role did that drumbeat of false claims, as Senator McConnell said, from the biggest megaphone in the world, what effect did that have on the people who actually showed up? How many of the people who showed up actually showed up intending to do what they did at the Capitol? And how many got caught up in the emotion of the moment and the president's rhetoric? All these questions have yet to be answered. So I think there's an intrinsic value in establishing those facts. And I think what's missing in the country right now is a common baseline understanding of even how our government is supposed to operate. If we have a large segment of the population that does not understand how our government is supposed to work, we're in big trouble because, you know, unlike other nations, you know, we're not defined by an ethnicity or by a religious faith. We're defined by a common understanding of what our government is about. And that's been eroded seriously over the last few years, and that needs to be restored. And I think a commission like this is one way to restore that.
I'm just curious, what was your personal reaction? What is still your reaction to what happened on January 6th?
I was shocked and deeply saddened because to me, that was sort of the coup de grace in a process that was a long time in the making, where our institutions are being discredited on a daily basis by our adversaries and even by some of the people here. Never thought I would see a mob take over the Capitol, even for a short period of time. You know, in 9/11, they had to evacuate the Capitol and there was that fear in the air that the Capitol might be struck by one of the hijacked planes. And you know, you could sort of see that because it was a transnational threat, but this was internal. This was Americans attacking their own capital, and that's a tragedy. How we got to that point is something I think we all need to understand in order to move forward in a constructive way.
Well, let me just ask you about that, because one of the big takeaways from the 9/11 Commission was that intelligence was siloed in the lead up to 9/11 among law enforcement agencies, the CIA and FBI, most notably. The conclusion was to have greater interoperability. So we don't have a January 6th Commission yet, but what needs to get fixed writ large to prevent another January 6th, do you think?
Well, I think it was a wake-up call. Part of the work that I've been involved in at Rutgers at the Eaglin Institute for the last year has been writing reports calling attention to the rise of the Boogaloo movement, for example. We wrote a report on QAnon back in June, warning that this could be a tremendously violent group And so we were warning people that something like this could happen. And I think it was in the Washington Post. One of my former colleagues actually wrote a report for the Capitol Police on January 3rd, I think, basically saying that, you know, this is coming and Congress will be the target. So it was not a failure of intelligence. It was a failure, I think, to take it seriously.
John Farmer, what do you think is the difference between how the 9/11 Commission ran and, say, something like a Truth and Reconciliation Commission? Is one more useful than the other in this instance?
I don't see them as that different, to be honest. The challenge for this is going to be that in the case of the 9/11 Commission, fault could be assigned to two administrations, right? The Clinton administration and the Bush administration, and both had lapses that resulted in these events. In this case, you know, it's really all on one side, and it might be very difficult to get hardcore Republican supporters of the president to agree to participate in a commission like this. But I think that enough of them went through that day, had to run for their lives and remember that they should want to know what happened. In that sense, I don't think that this kind of commission would differ much from either the 9/11 Commission or Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which other countries have had.
Final question, and it is a big concern these days. How could a commission like this fight disinformation and misinformation?
That's the key, right? We are learning just how toxic an environment social media can be for the spread of disinformation and misinformation. And what we found in studying groups like the Boogaloos and QAnon is that actually the social media platforms, and not intentionally, but they organize these groups. Because if you say something in a communication, the algorithms pick you up and say, oh, you might want to talk to so-and-so. He has similar views. And so they are complicit in actually organizing some of these extremist groups. And that has to be addressed. And I think there's a need for viewing people's personal data and the information that's sort of swept up by social media as a public trust. When radio and television first came into existence, there was a recognition of the danger of telescoping people's information so they get it from only one source. No similar recognition accompanied the advent of social media. And I think we need to go back to that kind of model. There used to be something called the fairness doctrine, recognizing that the danger of getting information from only one source, the networks were obliged to present multiple points of view. That went out the window with cable, the theory being that there were multiple outlets and therefore it didn't matter. But I think what the last decades have shown us is that it does matter. And people are getting their information largely from single sources. And when those sources are ideologically motivated, it results in the kind of split we have now. So viewing our social media presence as a public trust, I think, is the first step toward figuring out the proper way to regulate it so that we can control this tsunami of disinformation that's out there.
John Farmer was senior counsel and team leader on the 9/11 Commission. He's also a professor of law at Rutgers University. John, thank you for your time and thoughts today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
From PRX.